Well, happy Mother's Day, moms. You've heard that once or twice already this morning, and you may hear it five more times before we're done. So there. It's your day. We want you to know that you are such a blessing to us. And I had a chance in the first hour to wish my mom a happy Mother's Day. She is not here. She lives in Santa Clarita, California. Anybody know where Santa Clarita is? That's mom's home. And she's amazing. She prays for Legacy Church, and she prays for what God's doing. She prays for me. I call her at least once a week, if not twice a week. How many think that's pretty good for an old guy to call his mom that many times? Yeah, I call my mom and just love talking to her, and we laugh and cry and just really enjoy our times together on the phone. I also want to wish my wife a happy Mother's Day, and she's not in here right now, so I can kind of brag on her a little bit. But I know, let me just let you in on a little secret. I married way over my head. Okay, so let's just get that out there. Amen. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And so what a journey it's been. So awesome. We were in Bible college together. That's where we met, in Eugene, Oregon. And I'll never forget a chapel service that happened. We were not married. It was the summer before. It was, I think it might have been our sophomore, maybe junior year. And she was, we were in chapel, and the guest speaker, I think his name was Dick Mills. He was had just a prophetic gift. And he was sharing in that chapel. And I'll never forget, he's just praying for people. And what he'll do at the end of his message, he'll literally just lay a word on his heart for somebody in the room. So he had, and he pointed at Patty, and he said, yeah, young lady, come on up here. And he had Patty come up. And while she was walking up, he was praying for different other people. And she was standing there next to him. I'll just never forget. And he said, what's your name? She said, Patty O'Grady, her maiden name. And he said, young lady, I just want to tell you, just the Lord just impressed on my heart to share with you today that wherever you go, wherever you journey out in ministry, he said that there's a couple things he said, but this was the most significant to me. He said, there's going to be people that will gather, young women and moms that are going to gather around you, and they're going to ask you this question. I want to know Jesus the way you know Jesus. How do I know Jesus the way you know Jesus? And you know what? I will say for 33 years that we've been walking in ministry together, that is exactly what I've seen happen. There's just a love for the Lord that it radiates from Patty that does not just get flipped on when she steps on this stage. It is lived out day in and day out. I'm just telling you, for 33 years, and I'm just so grateful for the woman God has called to be my... I don't know where I'd be. How many husbands would say, I don't know where I'd be if it were not for my bride. Come on, let's give them a hand. Yeah. So, we enjoy a good little kind of romance movie because she likes like little romantic movies, and we'll make popcorn and sit on the couch and just knowing that she's enjoying that moment, it's just kind of fun. I enjoy it. How many Pride and Prejudice people we got here that you like? That's like one of her, that's her all-time favorite. How many, come on, Pride and Prejudice, the Keira Knightley version. Anybody with me? Keira, it's got to be that one. I'm just telling you. And I was hoping for more Pride and Prejudice, folks, because I was going to do a little Mr. Darcy impersonation, but since there's not enough here, I'll let that go. Here it is. I love you. Okay, there it is. That was it. Come on. What? Not bad, huh? Not bad. Keep your day job, right? Okay. So we're in the series, Are You One? The Anatomy of a Disciple, and it's we're using this kind of anatomy metaphor because this is really important. I was thinking structurally and kind of in, the Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Physiologically, I mean, we're just, God just does not, he's done a pretty awesome job of weaving us together. And now we can do things to improve our outward man, our outward physiology, or you know, our build or whatever. And we can do some things inside to eat better. Nutritionists can help us. Coaches can help us. Trainers can help us to be healthy and strong and to take care of this body, to get the most productive life out of this body possible while we are on this earth. Same, I think, is true for our spirit man. I think, you know, I was thinking about Legacy Church, and we're only 7 months old. I mean, that's, it still baffles me a little bit, what God's done in such a short time. And in 7 months, we just see different folks coming in where they're maybe in a season of transition. They're sensing God calling them here. We're seeing new people. We've seen people come in that are on the front end of their faith journey. They don't really know a lot about, you know, just kind of just checking it out. And you know what? You're why we're here. I mean, honestly, you're why we're here. We didn't want to just necessarily just create a church for church folks. Anybody with me? You know, like, hey, okay, let's bring another for church. No, we want to reach a city. We want to reach people who have not yet heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's our heart. And so with all the different backgrounds, we have to go to God's word and ask the question, what does a disciple look like? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What do they do? How do we become healthy in body, strong in spirit, to be as productive as possible and as effective as possible in the days ahead? And so last week, Patty kicked off the series. She talked about abiding, remaining. Disciples remain, and they abide, or they're grafted into God's presence, and just really taught us how to just be and become in His presence. That's important. How many of you know that it doesn't just happen showing up on Sundays in a building, right? We have to just be and learn. So if you haven't heard that, go on the website and you'll find that message there. And so today we're going to talk about a disciple loves. I thought with Mother's Day, and it is something, one of the series that we want to talk about is, how does a disciple love? And if you think that that's just kind of a soft and kind of a wimpy topic, it is not, honestly, for the faint of heart. It's probably one of the difficult ones as we talk about it. Because here's the deal. Love is a driving force. You follow, you protect, you fight, and you die for what and who you love, right? That's just what we do. History shows us that cities and conquests were made because of love, right? They were won because of romantic love, familial love. People were willing to die for it. They were willing to take it out or take out whatever obstacle got in the way. That made me think about back to Bible college, back to as we were coming out of our freshman year. Patty and I had just met and just started dating a little bit our freshman year. And this is going to say a lot, and thank God I've grown up a little bit. But some of the guys in the dorm, we thought, you know, hey, coming into the sophomore year, it'd probably be good not to be tied into a relationship. Kind of might want to just come back into our sophomore year just kind of free. Because, you know, they got them freshman girls coming in, and you just, right? That's what they said. I was just in the room, right? That's what they said. And so so I went to Patty, and I said, yeah, in the summer sometime. We should probably break up. I mean, not break up, but like just be friends during our sophomore year, because it'd just be good to get some room. Wow, that got a response. Okay, all right. You know, so we did. We started the year that way. This gets better. There was a guy that walked onto the campus. And I kid you not, this is the truth. This is not an embellishment at all. He was a Calvin Klein model. And you know where this is going. Huh? So he stepped on the campus, and all the girls' dorms were all abuzz, and ooh, you know, and everybody was. And then all of a sudden, and when all the dust settled, he's kind of talking to Patty a lot. And one day we were at a restaurant, and it was after church, and they, you know, all the we all went to the kind of same church, and we're all in a restaurant and whatever, and getting ready. And I just noticed the whole time these two were talking, like, you know, and Patty was not like, she listens really well. So when she talks, she's gonna look right at you, and she, I mean, it was. And so it was time to leave, and I was kind of going, and I walked by like this, like I said, "Hey, Patty, see ya, see you later." Nothing. Nothing. I go, "Hey, Patty, see you later." And this is what I got. I kid you not. She's just looking at it, and she went. I spent the next few weeks, maybe months, in pursuit. Because I realized something. Man, what have you done? What have you done? And just began that, well, obviously 33 years later, she's not married to a Calvin Klein model. That's obvious. But I won. Come on now. It was a conquest. Yeah. Thank you. I went from dog to a conquest. Man, I'm becoming, this is pretty good. So, but that's what happens. And here's the rip. Why do I even say that, share that, and just give you that behind the, view is because God has been in pursuit of humankind since the beginning of time. He's been pursuing us. He just kind of walked from the garden. He just wanted to walk with them. I mean, I could go on account after account. Colton mentioned the walls of Jericho where there was a partnership, and you just march around and you shout it on day 7, and I'm going to make those walls. I mean, it's on, and I'm going to part the sea and walk. You're going to walk on dry land. Over and over and over again, we see God just wanting to be involved in his creation. And then he said, sends his son on a massive rescue plan. I love that there was a save the date back in somewhere in the book of Isaiah. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be calleth Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." He's coming. God sends his son. And as he begins this rescue mission, fast forward 30 years, he launches in ministry. He goes to the sea shore, the shoreline, and he begins to select 12 men to walk with him and to train 12 disciples. And look at it with me, Matthew 4, 18 and 19. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them," what did he say? "Follow me, and I will make you." Now just pause there for a minute, especially if you know where this goes. "Follow me, and I will make you." Think about this for a moment. He could have said anything at that moment. Like, what's the strategy? How are we going to pull this off? What are we going to do? What's going to be the modus operandi that we're going to function by? "Follow me and I will make you successful. Follow me and I will make you better husbands." And every wife said amen. You could have said that. "Follow me and I will make you a better Christian. Follow me and I'll make you more consistent." Or, "Follow me and I'll make you stop sinning. Follow me and I'll make you give more, be more affluent, or be more resourceful," or what. He could have said any number of things, but he didn't. He said, "Follow me," in verse 19b, "and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and they followed him. It's interesting to me that was the method he chose. This is the plan. This is the means. This is the metaphor. It's like fishing, but we're going to go after people. We're going to reach people. We're going to love on people. We're going to build people. This isn't just a good idea. It wasn't just a good idea. In fact, in John 13, he says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to make disciples out of you that know how to love people." That brings us to our topic today. How do we do this? What does that look like? How do we act? How do we respond? How do we function as disciples of Jesus. He said, follow me, basically. Watch me. Do what I do. Say what I say. And I almost said, say what you need to say. That's John Mayer. We don't want that's another day, another topic. Do what I do. Say what I say. We learn by watching, right? We learn by watching. You go on YouTube. You got to go on YouTube to learn how to winterize your boat, or summarize this, or fix that, or repair. You go on. You used to go on anything mechanical. Anybody remember a book called Chilton's? I don't remember. I just remember seeing them in I just saw them around, these big books, and you open that thing up. I was like, how in the world? We learn by going on to Google and watching, or getting our directions, or Pinterest instead of the JCPenney or the Sears catalog. We learn by watching. I remember a song years ago, probably when Colton was very young. I remember it was very popular by Phillips Craig and Dean. And the lyrics of the song said this, and it created a lot of angst in dads, but it was true. And it was a prayer from a dad, and he said, Lord, I want to be just like you, because he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you, because guess what? He wants to be like me. If disciples are to love, followers of Jesus are to love people around us, what does that look like? How do I tangibly embrace that? If Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you, then I need to watch how he does it. That's why time in his word is so critical for us. We have to watch it. Watch him, learn from him. So today I want to focus on a moment in Scripture when the future of the church, I want to catch the church here in a difficult time. I want to see how this plays out. What can we learn from Jesus about discipleship and loving people when the future of the church was hanging in the balance? In fact, it was right after Jesus rose from the dead. The disciples have been scattered, right? Judas' body was just literally not very long ago pulled down from the noose by which he hung himself. When they were together, they were hanging out, the disciples were, behind locked doors for fear of their lives. It was a dark season. Peter was, imagine in those moments, they were replaying over and over and over the failure, the mistakes. Anybody ever do that? Anybody ever in a dark season kind of replay I should not have done that. Imagine how I can't believe we fell asleep in the garden. What in the world? I can't believe I lopped that guy's ear off. What was I thinking? I can't believe I couldn't stand up. I couldn't stand up to that teenage girl who asked me if I wasn't I with him, identified me as a follower. I did that not once, not twice, three times. I denied Jesus over and over, playing around. This is a dark moment. There's nothing positive in this moment going on. And Peter and a few disciples abandon their post, throw in the towel, and they go back to fish for fish. This thing looks hopeless. And the future of this movement seems to have been buried with Jesus. It's kind of not what I signed up for. And I want to watch how Jesus responds in this moment. What does he do? What does he teach us? Even though the disciples, it did not appear they were in a good posture to learn, I'm sure they were learning a lot in this moment. During difficult times, when you've been let down, when you feel abandoned, when you feel disappointed again. How do you identify people when people need some hope? And this is my prayer today. My prayer today is as we go through this, just this short account, that we would begin to ask God to just open up our heart and our eyes to see where people are at around us. How many of you know you can see when somebody's hurting? We can see when somebody's struggling. God would give us an impression that somebody, it just needs a word of encouragement or something. That's my heart today. So let's look at this. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. This is post-resurrection, shortly after the resurrection. Jesus comes out of the grave. Think about it. Like, the stone rolls away. This is an amazing moment. Clouds, I mean, it's the sky splits open. He steps out, and there's nobody there. There's nobody there. Nobody was waiting. They weren't camped out outside the, you know, just beyond and kind of watching. Nothing. Nobody was there. They were all just scattered, gone. So here it is. Later, verse 1 of chapter 21, later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, verse 3, what did he say? I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing for fish. We'll come too, they all said. I love that. That's leadership. I'm going fishing. We'll come too. So they went out in the boat, but they caught a big fat goose egg. They caught nothing all night. They're going back to go. So we'll just read the account and make some comments. They're going back to go, back to where they started. And to add insult to injury, not only do they fail as followers of Jesus, it appears, failed at that, now we can't catch fish. This is not a good day. Not a good day to just kind of hang out with the disciples. We usually catch fish right here. We usually get them here. Now we can't even catch. It sounds like victim language a little bit. Out in the middle of the lake, been there all night, nothing, trying to make sense of the events of the last 48 hours, darkness. And I believe this reflects, I'm just going to say, I believe it's true. I believe it reflects much of the people that we run into day in and day out in our communities, on our jobs, in the coffee shops. I believe that because it doesn't take much to just begin a conversation. I don't get ahead of myself, but you can just see it. People are trying to prop up some kind of normalcy in the day and get through 8 hours, and when they're done with the 8 hours, and thank God that's over with, they might say, and then try to do it again tomorrow, the same thing, over and over, lacking purpose, lacking meaning. Disciples are in a season of shame. They're out in the middle of that water. They're embarrassed. Feelings of failure, shipwrecked dreams, trying to determine where it all went wrong. So I do and put hope back in what I've always known. And then verse 4. I love verse 4. 8 words that if you underline in your Bible, this would be great to go home and underline it. Or if you have it here, it's going to be on the screen. Here it is. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach. Let that settle in for a minute. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach. My sense today is, and pardon me for taking this to its logical end in my mind, it may sound a little cheesy, but I have a sense that if we get this right, we may at one point have the opportunity to be Jesus standing on somebody else's beach in the morning after a dark, dark, dark night. That's what disciples do. Disciples are out on the beach. They couldn't see who it was. Verse 5, he called out, "Fellas! Have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, throw the net out on the right side of the boat and you'll get some. And so they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Remember, we're watching Jesus. We're learning how to love like he loves. And here's what we do. Here's number one. Write this down. You got to seek them out. Right? You got to seek them out. Verse 10 of Luke chapter 19 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Seek and save those who are lost. Here's what I love. Now, just bear with me here, but he comes out of the tomb, nobody there. Goes to where the house where they're supposed to be staying, right? Knocks on the door. Hey, the ladies, or whoever's in there opens the door. Are the guys here? No. Where are they? Well, some are on the road to Emmaus, and some are heading this way and that. Some, the other guys got word they're out on the lake. They went fishing. Oh, okay. Well, I'll just wait here for them then. Show up at my thing. I'm not showing up at theirs. No, that's not what he said. He just went looking for them. I just love that about Jesus. I mean, really? You're going to make the Son of God come out and look for you? But that's what he did. No problem with that whatsoever. He's standing on the beach. These guys are fishing. These were the no-shows, the deserters, the quitters. They had abandoned their post. They were supposed to be keeping things together, keeping everyone encouraged. I wrote down a phrase that we don't hear very often, and because we are a busy culture, you don't hear, people don't just stop by unexpectedly anymore, do we? When was the last time you just said, you know what, let's stop by? I don't even go to my son's house without first calling. Hey, good time? People don't do that very often. Kind of the unexpected guest. What would happen if somebody that we knew, or maybe you don't stop by, but maybe you just send them a text. Hey, just thinking about you, praying for you today. Wow. Hey, let's grab coffee. Jesus shows up as he always does because, remember, we talked about the Old Testament. He's the God who always pursues. He's just doing what comes naturally. And if you're watching Jesus and you're watching how to be a disciple, guess what? We're gonna emulate that. You just go. You just go and you seek them out. I remember at times when I was the guy out in the middle of the lake, there was somebody who stood on the shoreline, on the beach of my life. His name's Tom Medina. Tom showed up there. He says, come on, let's grab coffee. Not only let's grab coffee this week, I want to grab coffee with you every other day. I don't care how. You want to have coffee? We're going to have coffee. We're together. We're going to have coffee, and we're just going to talk. We're going to be together. We're together, man. We're walking. We're talking. Once a week, let's do it. He became Jesus, right? That's just what it is. That's how it plays out. He wasn't there. We don't go there. Jesus wasn't there to tap his foot and say, where were you? Hello? That wasn't the plan. He wasn't there to judge or condemn or ridicule or put them down, call them failures. I like what Bob Goff says, his book Love Does. He says, you don't need a plan moments like this. You just need to be present. So you seek them out. Secondly, what you do is you say something. Say something. Say something. Now, I understand St. Francis of Assisi says, you know, we ought to be the light of Jesus to the world and be an example to the world, and if necessary, use words. But I mean, you know, there are times we got to use words. There are times we got to open up our mouth and say, hey, fellas, neighbors, we got to say something. Let me help. Throw the net on the other side. Not only do we go to where they are and seek them out, but we've got to say something. I think about a couple weeks ago when I talked to Figgy earlier about this. We baptized Figgy right back there in the baptismal tank. And Figgy loves the Lord and is serving him today. He wants to dedicate his life, just living for Jesus. Figgy's here because a conversation, Colton ran into him at Yokes. And Colton saw Figgy and he thought, I'm going to say something. So he said to him, Figgy, you got to get yourself to church, man. You got to get cleaned up. You got to get cleaned up and get yourself to church. Is that what he said? No, that's not what he said. You say that at all. What in the world? You need to get yourself cleaned up. See, that's what the world thinks. That's what we're going to say. Colton said, "Hey, dude, I like your shoes." And he just began a conversation, right? Just a conversation. Sometimes you just say something just to start a conversation. I get a lot of those conversations going at Starbucks. You know, I like to go there because it's kind of the epicenter of Liberty Lake. Everybody gets to, they see you and they get to know you. "Oh, I've seen you a while." "What? It's been 2 days." Yeah, "I've seen you." They know you, the drink you want, and you know their name, they know your name. It's just, you're just getting, saying something. Meeting people. I love that. The barista, the server at the restaurant. We were talking to our men's group. We meet over at Barlow's over here, and we were finishing up the meeting, and we're talking about this. And we said to our server, "You know what? We like to close out our time in a word of prayer, and we love to pray for you. Is there anything we could pray for you about?" And she looked at us and said, "No." And then about 5 seconds later, after she walked away, she came back and said, "Oh, yeah, there is." And she shared with us, "What'd you like us to pray about?" Sometimes you just got to say something, right? I know this is so basic, but it's so true and it's so important. Jesus said, "Hey, fellas, how's the fishing? Throw it on the other side." Offer to lighten the load. Again, Bob Goff got a great quote. He says, I used to want to fix people, but now I just want to be with them. Disciples just want to be with people. They just want to have conversation. What can we learn from Jesus about loving people? Here's the kind of last part of this that I want to read to you. Look at John 21, verse 7. It says, then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." He spotted him, figured it out from the boat. Said, "It's the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard what it was, that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work. He was a fisherman. I'm not sure what. Anyways, so jumped into the water and he headed to shore. Verse 8, the others stayed with the boat and pulled a loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. And when they got there, listen to this. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish. I love the detail here. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire. And some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard, dragged the net to the shore. Like there's a 1,000-pound elephant there on the lake sitting. Peter just wants to talk about, but that's not why Jesus is there. Bill, just be with his guys. And yet the net hadn't torn. Verse 12, "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. Just served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. If we're following Jesus' example, then guess what? We ought to serve people some breakfast. We ought to just serve. We ought to just serve them. And in this case, it's breakfast. That's not a bad idea. Feel free to call me anytime and take me to breakfast. That would be amazing. But we ought to serve. Put an apron on and meet a felt need. Put a meal together. To share a meal in that culture, I love what this author says. He says, throughout the Bible, God has a way of showing up at tables. In fact, it's worth noting that at the center of the spiritual lives of God's people, in both the Old and New Testaments, we find the table. The table of Passover, and the table of communion. A New Testament scholar captured something of this sentiment when he wrote, when Jesus himself wanted to explain to his disciples, get this, what his forthcoming death was all about, he didn't give them a theory, he gave them a meal. Love that. You get an opportunity to just speak into the life of somebody. Share a little bit of what's going on with them, just to over a cup of coffee. It means the world. I do that with Bruce often. Share a cup of coffee. Sometimes we'll split a Terra coffee cinnamon roll. It just makes it better when you know someone else is eating it too. We're watching how Jesus does this so that we could emulate it. Does this make sense? So we emulate. This is how you look for people. You seek them out. And then you just be available to say something. Let it be something encouraging. Let it be something that would just resonate in their heart. Lift the load a little bit. And then just serve them. Serve them. They were at the bottom. They didn't need anybody to judge them. They didn't need anybody to tell them what they did wrong, remind them. I loved, in my situation, I just put myself here. In some of those difficult times in my life, I remember, man, I don't know. The future looks a little bit tough. And I remember my friend Tom, to use the words of Jesus, how do you like your eggs? Come on. How do you like your eggs? You find somebody that's hurting, you just speak into whatever, what it is they need. How about I come over and just help you with your lawn or your yard? How about we just go and spend some time just talk together? That's following it, doing it the way Jesus did it. Perhaps before we invite people to Jesus or even invite them to church, we should invite them to dinner, one guy writes. It's a gesture of forgiveness, a gesture of grace, an action of love. Action of love. I love this. Get this. We quote the scripture often. Very rarely, Romans 5, 7, 8, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. Verse 8, but God demonstrates. Let me show you how to love people. But God demonstrates his own love. It's not just words. It's not just some flighty thing that, hey, here's what you ought to do. Follow the manual. No, let me show you. God demonstrates his own love in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let me show you how to pay the ultimate price for people, to love them. I love that. And then in a final conversation he has with Peter, the breakfast dishes are put away. The last of the fish is eaten, set aside. And Jesus looks over at Peter. He says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. And Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And listen, he's talking about a perfect love. Jesus saying, do you love me? Agape, do you, agapeo. Like this, like only, you only can perform that type of love if you're like walking in the Spirit and doing what Jesus called you. Do you love me? And Peter said, I love you, Lord. You know I do. I wouldn't be in this situation. I phileo you. I love you like a brother. But because he knew that what he's done is in denying Jesus, he just could not aspire to that type of love. I love you, Lord, but it needs explanation. I feel like a failure. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And he asked him a third time. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time, and he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said what? Feed my sheep. Listen, he denied him three times. He was reinstating him. He wasn't calling Peter some kind of perfect love. He said, I want to reinstate you, man. But here's the deal about loving Jesus. I'm going to be done. Here's what I love about this. It's awesome to get to come together like this and worship him and love him. But he demonstrates something with Peter that I think we have to understand. It's always this. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Then begin to serve and give. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. I love to worship you. I love to come to Legacy Church and worship you and lift my voice. I love to worship you in my car. I love to worship you in the shower. I love to worship you. And Jesus says, then serve those that I really care about. Take care of people around. Get involved in your neighborhood. Get involved at work. Love people. They just go together. I take the love that Jesus gives to me, and I give back to him, gives to me, and it just deflects off of me to people around me. To people around me. I seek them out. I say something. And I serve them. In your program, there's a connection card, and I don't have mine here. Thank you, Faith. This connection card, there's just an area on the back that you can check a box. Made a decision to follow Jesus, or some of the other things there at the very bottom. I will make myself available this week to be a conduit of his love to others. Conduit of his love to others. And I'm going to just bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. I want to pray for you. Here's my question today. The question today is, that there's a good chance maybe somebody's here that would say, you know what? I am the guy out in the middle of the lake. I'm the guy that's feeling like I'm walking in the middle of failure and defeat and brokenness right now. Right now, things are pretty dark. And I need Jesus to show up on the beach of my life right now. If that's you, I want to pray for you today. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand and put it down. I'm not going to have you stand up or come forward or embarrass you in any way. I just want to pray for you, include you in our closing prayer. If that's you today, just put your hand up and say, yeah, Pastor Gary, include me in your closing prayer. I'm kind of walking through. I feel like the guy's out in the middle. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I'll pray for you right now. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? I don't want to miss anyone. Thank you. Yes. I feel like we're a little bit out there. I'm just out there in the middle of the, and it feels a little bit dark. We pray for you right now. Jesus, I pray for these that have lifted their hands, Lord. And here's what I'm excited about. Here's what I'm confident of. You are the God who pursues. So even just the simple act of lifting a hand that would say, I need Jesus to show up. I need Jesus to show up. I need to look to the shoreline. I need to look to a place in my life and see Jesus. Jesus through a person. Jesus through a promise in the Word. Jesus even through a song of worship. Some hope, some direction, answered prayer. Whatever it might be, Lord, I pray you would just send the answer. Surround them now with your love, with your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.